Okay. So I have nothing to disclose. So just a little background on this. Home care is one of the fastest growing industries. There's about 1.5 million home care workers in the United States. It's considered to be the fastest growing occupation, both in percentage of new workers as well as total number of workers. It's also an occupation that has a high injury rate. One study by the Bureau of Labor Statistics found that they were 70% more likely to get injured compared to the general working population. It's a very challenging occupation to do research on. Basically, home care workers are individuals who assist people in their homes who are elderly or disabled to allow them to continue living independently and do a variety of both housekeeping as well as personal assistance activities. They are often multicultural, multilingual. It's a low-wage job. It's also very unique because the work setting is the home setting. And so in addition to being dispersed in a lot of different kinds of workplaces, it's also a workplace that's very difficult to control because it's someone's individual home. So this is reporting on a project called Partnership for Safety. It was a project developed as a community-based participatory research project to develop and evaluate intervention materials for safety and health for home care workers in Alameda County, California, which is where it's the county around Oakland. That's the biggest city. The overall research had three phases. The first phase was to do research and develop the intervention, and what we developed was a handbook that home care workers could use as well as a training program. We also field tested that intervention to develop it, and in past years at APHA we've presented a lot on the development of this intervention. The final phase was evaluating the effectiveness of the intervention, and so this presentation is going to focus mainly on what we learned in conducting an evaluation. Just to emphasize the importance of evaluation, a lot of people have been developing new training and education programs for hard-to-reach workers, it's very challenging. People are trying to use innovative new approaches, train the trainer, using things like telenovelas and all sorts of new and interesting approaches. But it's very important that we try and develop ways of evaluating its impact, because it's going to be difficult to do more widespread dissemination and funding for these kinds of approaches unless we can actually show people that they work. Many people have talked about that, you know, when we do this evaluation, because we're talking about hard-to-reach populations, that it's very important not just to look at awareness and knowledge, but also to try and measure and look at the impact of the various barriers that people face in trying to take action. So in many situations, particularly for immigrant and low status workers, we can teach them about things, but they may face a lot of barriers in actually taking action. So the other important part of evaluation is sort of looking at how important those barriers are. So this is just to show the partners. This was a great partnership that's gone on now for 10 years. We worked with the Public Authority for In-Home Supportive Services, which is the county agency in California, the Service Employees International Union, the Labor Occupational Health Program, and NIOSH. And I just want to acknowledge the amazing group of people who have made this possible. So just looking at the conceptual framework we used for the evaluation, our end outcome goals were to reduce hazards, have safer behaviors, fewer injuries. We wanted to try and increase the work satisfaction for home care workers and also the satisfaction for the consumers for their work. To feel that home care workers had mastered their worst work tasks, and also to try and decrease turnover. And some of the inputs that we tried to develop, we created an educational handbook for home care workers that could be used with their consumers, developed a training program to introduce the handbook, and we've also tried very hard to develop policies and programs that would function in addition to this intervention that would help it work. And so some of the targeted behaviors that we were trying to accomplish with these inputs, one would be to use the materials and to get home care workers to discuss it with their clients, to use the materials to identify hazards, to negotiate with their consumers to figure out how to implement changes, and to figure out how to access the needed resources they needed to implement changes. And of course, you know, as I said before, there's lots of modifying factors and barriers that we have to look at. So just real briefly, this is the final product. As I said, we've presented this in previous APHA sessions. So it was a nice little handbook that people could fit in their purse. It started with a checklist where people could identify hazards, and it had most of the main tasks. And then for each of the tasks, there was a chapter. So this just shows you the one for house cleaning tasks where we had do's and don'ts, and it gave people tools and tips, told them how to talk about the problems with their home care workers and how to find help. Well, we also had a training program, and this just shows you some slides from some photos from the training programs. It was focused on using the handbook to identify hazards, finding resources and interventions, and also doing role-playing about how to talk about these issues with their consumer. So in developing the evaluation, we decided to focus primarily on a kind of pre-post telephone survey. And I just want to quickly touch on the fact that one of the challenges when you develop an evaluation for this kind of population is you're functioning in three languages. We did everything in English, Spanish, and Chinese. And so both the idea of multiple languages as well as low literacy. So the process that we used for developing the surveys, we had focus groups in three languages and developed a lot of the concepts that we wanted to explore in the phone survey. We then selected scales and developed some scales. We did translation, back translation, and cognitive testing of the surveys. And then we did a pilot test with about 90 home care workers to make sure that it worked. So the design that we use for the evaluation, there's about 1,500 home care workers in Alameda County who had worked for at least 1 year. And so from that group, we randomly selected about 4,000 home care workers with approximately even numbers across the three languages. And so we sent out a recruitment package to those 4,000 individuals. We didn't have high expectations of getting a good response rate. We thought there would be, you know, 5 to 10% response rate inviting people to participate. But therefore, what we did was we had a randomized design. So the idea is those people who chose to participate in the evaluation would be randomized either into a treatment or a control population, so that even though the participants were a select population, they were randomized, and therefore we could look at that. And so we wanted to have 160 workers in the treatment group and also 160 of their clients. So we had 160 in the treatment group and 160 in the control group. For the treatment group, we did a time one survey. They then participated in the training program and got the handbook, and about 2 months later, they had a second survey. For the control population, they had a time one survey. They then, 2 months later, had a time two survey, and they participated in the training program after their second survey. So that was done just to give everyone access to it, but they were the control population. So in terms of the participation rate, we had a goal of getting 160 workers We actually ended up getting close to the 160. And if you look at the numbers of participants across the full evaluation, it was really remarkable. We had about an 85 to 90% participation of the home care workers across the entire 2.5 months, and that involved participating in 2 telephone surveys and also coming to a training program. So one of the issues in terms of trying to get people to participate was thinking about what the recruitment materials would look like and how to get them motivated to participate. So the recruitment materials were developed. We spent a lot of time and we had a lot of input from both consumers and workers. The recruitment letter was, you can see there a little sticker, so the envelope had a sticker that identified that it was coming from the program that they were associated with, so they would have confidence that this was something, you know, an authority that they recognized. The recruitment letter was co-signed by both the union and the county administrator. And we had used this kind of robocalls by the union. So after the mailing went out, everyone got a call to their home in their language asking them to participate. We also developed a social marketing card. So the idea was to have some kind of glitzy card within the packet that would encourage people to participate. So this was developed with quite a bit of work from our worker and consumer advisory group. So it says, you lift him out of bed every morning. Tomorrow morning's going to be different. Keep yourself safe. And on the back side, it asks people to participate in the program. So we just finished the evaluation. It's just been about a month ago. So we've just gotten the results. So I'm just going to give you a little taste of what we found. First of all, this is just the demographics of the participants, and it looks like what we expected. They're primarily female, mainly low income. This is an older population of workers. California is a unique program where they allow people who are related to the client to work in it. So in this case, 2/3 were actually related to the person they were taking care of, which is about the percentage in the whole population. They had worked for about 6 years. They had slightly over 100 hours per month of work. 21% had received any training at all before they began working as a home care worker, and only half had received any training about their job since they had become a home care worker. So this is the answer to their question about, have you been injured at work as a home care worker? And this actually surprised me. We found that 30 to 40 people had experienced burns, bruises, back strains and sprains. About 70% had experienced one or another of these injuries. But what was very interesting is in the survey, when we asked them if they thought there was very low risk associated with getting hurt at work with one or another of the tasks that they do. And this was a 4-point scale that went from very low risk to very high risk. So I'm showing you just the percentages for low risk. 40 to 60% of people thought there was very low risk associated with the work that they did in these tasks, even though they had reported lots of injuries. So this just shows you the treatment group versus the control group in the time to survey. This first shows you those reporting very low risk in the treatment group, and you can see for all these tasks the percentages went down, and in the control group there was really no change in those people reporting very low risk. So it seems like awareness about hazards had definitely increased as a result of the evaluation. Interestingly, though, these were some other tasks, and it was some of the tasks that people, I think, more commonly associated as being high risk, like lifting or moving your client, helping them bathe, carrying heavy items. And so what was interesting there is that we found less of effect in those kinds of tasks that people had traditionally thought were dangerous. So this just shows you another thing. This was a question that said workers find it difficult to, and this was a self-efficacy scale that we developed. You can see here that the major finding that we had is that people reported that they found it less difficult to find information to reduce risk. So again, that was one of the specific targets of our intervention, was giving them the resources to find information and get materials to reduce the risks associated with hazards. What was also interesting is we had a whole work satisfaction scale, and it had a number of different components of work satisfaction. You can see on the bottom there's overall satisfaction with work, which was sort of a global finding. And interestingly, in the change between time one and time two, is that hazards went, their awareness of hazards went up, but it also looks like their overall satisfaction went down slightly, which those of us in occupational safety and health are not surprised by. So this is just, I wanted to give you, we asked people just to tell us their reaction to the intervention. I thought some of these quotes were just really powerful. So one is, the book is very helpful and I know where I can find numbers for IHSS, that's the program, and all the numbers that I can look for information or referrals. Another person says that she is very grateful to have this training and booklet, which is very useful to her. She carries this booklet with her all the time. All the chapters are useful and the illustrations are great because she does not read well. And then the third one I thought was sort of amazing. He and his mom do not read. They asked other people to read it for him. He found this book very helpful in raising his awareness of safety issues. So that one in particular really felt like, wow, here's someone who can't even read, and it had been effective. So in conclusion, evaluation of training programs for underserved workers are challenging, but it can be done. And what we found is the community-based participatory methods really enhanced recruitment and retention in the evaluation process and in developing the materials to do that. And we have some preliminary evidence of the effectiveness in increasing awareness and improving access to information, and we'll be doing a lot more analysis of the results. So.